Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Hit us up on the CNG Twitter line at Mike Golic Jr. at Chris Canty 99. And Gojo, I'm sitting here watching the Senior Bowl practice, trying to figure out why they want to get tight ends to block in one-on-ones against defensive backs and linebackers. We know that's not going to end well for the tight ends, because that's not what today's tight end ends up doing. That's not what they're asked to do at the college ranks. And quite frankly, that's not really what they're asked to do in the pros either.
No, Chris, how many times do we have to see, and as a general public complaint, I mean, even in this NFL playoff run, we had instances where you had games lost because you decided to put marquee pass rushers up against tight ends one-on-one. It never works. Coordinators, leave it alone. Let a tackle help them do something, but this drill is unrealistic and irresponsible.
No doubt about it. And I'm going to tell you something else that's irresponsible, too. What's going on with the Brooklyn Nets and how Steve Nash is managing that team? Because they go out to Sacramento, and even with Kyrie Irving in the lineup, they end up getting blasted by the Kings in the fourth quarter, Gojo. And now they are the owners of the longest losing streak in the NBA, up to six games now. And people are asking the question, what's going on with the Brooklyn Nets? I'll tell you what's wrong. They don't have Kevin Durant. They don't have their closer. Going into the fourth quarter last night, they had a three-point lead, and then they get outscored by the Kings 29-15. It was a fourth quarter in which Kyrie and James Harden combined for 4 points and two turnovers, and the Kings had 5 points off of those two turnovers. And so it's a situation now where, because Kyrie Irving is a part-time player, you do have some confusion in terms of the roles that your role players are playing. And then, oh, by the way, you have the undue burden that you're placing on James Harden, because on the home stands, he's got to do more heavy lifting when it comes to the offensive output. So James Harden is in a tough spot right now, and I can't imagine the frustration that he's feeling with Kyrie Irving being a part-time player and Kevin Durant being out of the lineup. But if that technical foul that he got in the fourth quarter is any indicator, that dude has had it up to here. And I'm starting to question seriously not only whether or not the Brooklyn Nets could contend at a championship level this season, but whether or not James Harden is going to be a part of the Brooklyn Nets after this season.
Yeah, Chris, this is such a far cry from what we had last year. Because remember last year, the book on them was they had only played, what, like seven games together during the regular season with that big three before the postseason. But that season was uncharacteristically quiet. Like, we expected the traveling circus like we've gotten this year from that organization. But last year, we didn't hear a peep from the outside. We just got quiet. We got inconsistent. But when they got on the court, it looked great. Injury was the only thing that undermined what the Brooklyn Nets were doing in that 2020-2021 season last year.
Well, we can't forget about the Kyrie Irving unexcused absence, too, because he did go AWOL for a couple of weeks from the team, and nobody knew where he was, and he didn't respond to anybody within the organization. So that's also a subplot in all of this as well, something that I'm sure James Harden hadn't forgotten.
No, he hadn't, and you're right, Chris, but even with that, it felt like comparatively, we were getting a lot less of this, which, to your point about James Harden, the technical, and just what we've heard from him post-game, this sounds like outward frustration. This was James Harden after the game talking about what the Nets need going forward.
No, I think we've done too much talking. I think we've done too much talking. It's just we got to go out there and do it, and do it consistently. You know, we have times where we're great, then we have times where we're really bad. And we just got to find some consistency throughout the course of games, more times than not.
Chris, he sounds exhausted. And everything you just mentioned, he's dealt with a hamstring, he's dealt with a hand, all of it because there's been an outsized workload put on him, where we knew he was coming into this season after dealing with a nagging hamstring injury. And now with all this, Chris, and also having to be the guy out front of all this, because we haven't seen KD in a while because of that injury. We only see Kyrie Irving on road games. We didn't get him for the first half of the season. And so who has been out front having to answer all the questions about why everything isn't sweet out there in Brooklyn? James bleeping Harden, a guy we already know probably doesn't want to be that dude, has been forced to answer for everyone else's stuff right now.
Yeah, and that's a tough position for him to be in. But because Kyrie Irving is a part-time player, because he's not out there every single night, the focus is going to be on James. And in the absence of Kevin Durant, a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to being able to close out games, being able to be the finisher for that team is going to fall on his shoulders, and it's proven to be too much for him, and you don't have to argue whether or not that's the case because you can look at the results. The team has struggled over the course of the last several weeks now, and with Kevin Durant out of the lineup for another 3 to 4 weeks, I figured that we're in line for more of the same, Gojo. I can't imagine that it's going to get much better anytime soon, and that's just going to lead to the frustration mounting between James Harden, and you're wondering now what the state of the relationship between him and Kyrie Irving is actually like, but then also what the relationship with James Harden is with Steve Nash and Sean Marks and the rest of the Brooklyn Nets organization. Because again, this is something where James Harden felt like he was coming over from Houston to have a chance to compete for a championship. When you're a player at his level, it's ultimately about rings. That's how your legacy is determined. And Brooklyn was supposed to be the place to do it with Kyrie and with KD. This was supposed to be the big three that was going to be the favorite for, what, 2 or 3 seasons that they were together in Brooklyn? And now you have to wonder whether or not this group is going to actually ever be able to get it done. And so I don't fault James Harden for being frustrated, and I understand what he's saying. We need to stop talking about it and be about it. But Gojo, given the state of affairs, given Kyrie's unwillingness to get vaccinated and be a full-time player, I don't know that the current state is going to change. I think it's going to be status quo, which is a team that's largely inconsistent and a team that doesn't have defined roles when it comes to their key pieces and their role players.
Yeah. Canyon Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Chris, as we've sit here and digested this situation, it actually reminds me James Harden has big-time oldest sibling syndrome right now. I know this feeling very well as the oldest of three, because you can love your siblings and not always like what they are doing at the time being. I had a lot of mornings where I was woken up in high school because my brother and his grades were not necessarily in the best place, or he had done something foul, and so I heard those feet stomping over to our room, and at some point I was looking over there like, dude, we need to get right. Like, whatever you got to do, clear the browser history, go and fix your life at school, whatever it is, man, we got to get right, because I'm catching shrapnel from what you got going on here. Help me out. That feels like the energy we got from James Harden, who, listen, came over here because we know the relationship he had with Kyrie and Kevin Durant. I'm sure there's a lot of love there, but right now it feels like there is a whole lot of frustration and not a ton of like for what Kyrie Irving has forced James Harden to deal with here. And to your point, that can have long-term ramifications. We've already seen it hinted at that, but every time we hear from James, he sounds that much more exhausted by the situation.
Yeah, and I keep going back to the fact that James Harden has not signed the contract extension that the Brooklyn Nets put out there for him at the beginning of training camp before the season started. Like, that was out there. Kevin Durant signed his. It's believed that Kyrie Irving, he's only going to play for the Brooklyn Nets. He's not going to consider playing for anybody else. He doesn't want to be traded to anybody else. So if you're James Harden, you're thinking about how many years do I have at the height of my powers in my prime in order to compete at a championship level? And you got to think, being on the other side of 30, it can't be many more at the level that we saw him at in Houston and then, you know, last year in the postseason, and the guy that's capable of being able to put up 30-point triple-doubles. So there's a level of urgency with James Harden with all of this. And if Kyrie Irving can't get right and get on board with the team agenda and trying to do everything that you can to win basketball games and win a championship, then I could see a world where James Harden chucks the deuces to the Brooklyn Nets and keeps it moving this offseason.
And we could see a world this year during the season, Chris, to your point, where they fall well short of expectation when it comes to the postseason. We expect them to be there, but what it looks like, the inconsistency and the injury that's marred their season, the expectations are starting to go down drastically for Brooklyn.
Go, Jay. They're not beating Miami, and they're not beating Milwaukee. Not like this.
No.
It's not going to happen. Not with Kyrie Irving as a part-time player, Kevin Durant being hobbled, and the version of James Harden that's going out there each and every night. They can't beat Miami, and they can't beat Milwaukee. They just can't.
And we know between now and then, there could still be a chance that things change rule-wise with the things that have affected Kyrie Irving's availability at those home games, the rules in New York. We'll wait and see on all that, but as presently constructed, Chris, I agree with you. You're not going to beat anyone of substance when it comes to the postseason when your team is constructed at the core like this. The NBA's on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as the Clippers host the Lakers. We'll get to them in a little bit. Presented by Indeed.
No, do we have to?
Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Coming up next, though, we'll actually look at a fun, exciting, young team in the Western Conference that may be poised to break through. And I am sorry, it is not the Lakers. Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Rolling along on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. And Gojo, the stars were out at Madison Square Garden last night. You had Colin Kaepernick, Spike Lee, CC Sabathia, all of those guys courtside, and they weren't showing up to watch the home team. I think it's safe to say that they were showing up to watch Showtime, Ja Morant, and the Memphis Grizzlies, which have turned themselves into one of the funnest teams, even if that's even a word, one of the funnest teams to watch in all of basketball. This team is electric. They're exciting. And I think they might be a legit contender in the Western Conference. I really do. But I just thought it was an impressive performance. They essentially led that game wire to wire against the Knicks. The Knicks cut it to as few as 5 points in the fourth quarter. But it was just one of those games you had to feel for it. You knew that the Memphis Grizzlies were going to win that ball game, and sure enough, they took care of their business on the road.
Yeah, it had been kind of a story for them all year, right? They started off the season, I think 9-10, and managed to pull themselves out of that. And this game, Chris, didn't feel close for the majority of it. The Knicks were able to pull it to single digits in the fourth quarter. And again, Memphis was able to put their foot on the gas. And you and I were talking earlier before the show about what this feels like, the kind of turnaround character that Ja Morant's been. Because you hear them talk about this. I heard Doris Burke and company on the call last night. He's been a culture changer. We say that word all the time, but she said this is a young team. They hang out together. He has instilled a ton of confidence with them. It's Joe Burrow's Cincinnati Bengals. That's the feel of all of this, of a guy who was brought in here and has turned into the absolute highlight reel showstopper from that 2019 draft. Chris, we all knew that Zion was going to go number one overall. We understood why it had to happen. But as we get along into their careers now, we've seen the difficult road for him. Ja Morant is going to look like the one that got away yet again for the New York Knicks, for the Pelicans and everybody else in this process who missed out on their chance to get this guy, and what an absolute stud ticket he's turned into.
Yeah, the poor Knicks, man. I mean, with Ja Morant, they were one pick away. They end up getting RJ Barrett. With the Steph Curry draft, they were one pick away. They end up getting Jordan Hill. Like, it's just... it seems like it's like draft after draft where the Knicks come up just short, one pick away from being able to get the right guy that can change the fortunes of their franchise. But last night, I mean, you saw it. The gulf between Ja Morant and RJ Barrett might as well be the Grand Canyon. And I remember there are a lot of people in that draft saying that was a three-player draft. Well, the reality is it's probably only a two-player draft with Zion and Ja. And I got to say, the Memphis Grizzlies got the better out of the two players. So in terms of what Ja Morant is meant for this team, listen, he didn't even have a great shooting night last night. He went 9 of 27 from the field, but it's not just about him being able to score the basketball. It's about him being able to create offense and opportunities for all of his teammates. Just being able to be active on the defensive end, creating steals, getting out in transition on the fast break. You saw him throwing lobs to teammates, guys throwing lobs to him, and him finishing above the rim. I mean, last night, was able to force 15 turnovers on the New York Knicks that led to 17 points. And oh, by the way, the Memphis Grizzlies, 25 second chance points against the Knicks. That's atypical of a Tom Thibodeau coach team, but yet the Memphis Grizzlies put so much pressure on you with their depth and their relentlessness that they force teams to making errors that are uncharacteristic of what they typically would. So, I mean, you got to give all the credit in the world to the Memphis Grizzlies, to Ja Morant and what he's been able to do, and the supporting cast, too. Jaren Jackson Jr. showing up, being able to knock down a couple of three balls, and then Desmond Bane showing up. All he hit was three-pointers last night. I mean, Steven Adams, he's the toughness that this team needs. But in terms of all the essential elements, Gojo, they have it in order to compete at the highest levels of the sport. The only thing that the Memphis Grizzlies are missing is experience in playing in those games. When you start talking about the postseason, when you start talking about conference championship rounds, those are the things that the Memphis Grizzlies are missing. But I feel like they're going to gain that experience this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if they end up being the Cinderella story this year in the same way that we saw with the Phoenix Suns last season.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what their playoff capabilities are because we've heard about them. They're the team that's young enough to be out here giving max effort during the regular season, badgering veteran players who may understand after long careers, you don't necessarily got to give it your all during this portion of the season. But, Chris, I'm with you. I think they're due for a run. We're probably a year or two max away from them, I think, being true title contenders when we talk about this and the evolution of Ja Morant. But you got a dude who moves like prime Derrick Rose. Like, that's the smooth, explosive athleticism that we see from Ja Morant and all this. You got a head coach in Taylor Jenkins, who I swear to God I thought was me on the sideline for a little bit there. Like, every balding, bearded white guy looks exactly the same, by the way. That's your PSA.
Is that a fraternity?
You know what? It is kind of a fraternity because I will, like, it's just one of those things we all get rightly mistaken for each other. I'm in the club, so I can say that, but every bald bearded white guy who's listening to this right now understands Taylor Jenkins is out there winning for the rest of us right now because it's not always pretty. He's not going to show up on league fits or anything like that or ever blow anyone away, but he's out there doing a really solid job with this young team that also, Chris, like, the best part, they're out there talking their bleep. Like, this a team we saw last night through the course of this game here. They got no qualms going out there. Julius Randle trying to come over their huddle. They said after the game, Ja Morant had the quote, "We're about the smoke. We climbed the chimney. We're not going to hide from it. We're going to go look for the smoke coming out of this situation." And as we go along, that's going to be the best part of this, Chris, is they are unafraid. They got an all-star starter as the leader of their team. They are young and extremely athletic, and they don't give a country damn what you got going on here. They got a giant pyramid Bass Pro Shop in Memphis that they are repping for.
No doubt about it. And listen, that aspect of the team, that attribute that you talked about, that underlying grit and toughness, that's something that's been consistent in them throughout the course of this season. Just think back a couple of weeks when Ja Morant got into it with the Chicago Bulls and then Steven Adams came over there to have his superstars back. Like, this team is not going to back down from anybody. You saw it in the fourth quarter. Ja Morant tried to punch it on Mitchell Robinson, who's the 7-1 center for the New York Knicks. Now, it ended up being a foul. He ended up going to the line and knocking down two free throws. But that's the type of fearlessness that they have. But then there's also that belief that they have. Because on any given night, Gojo, they have the best player on the court in Ja Morant. Like, that's how good this guy has gotten. Like, he's right up there with the other superstars in the league, the Steph Currys, the Giannises, the LeBrons. Like, on any given night, he's capable of having that type of production, that type of effect, impact on his team winning. So it seems like it's ahead of schedule in terms of getting that program turned around. But you said it's Joe Burrow-esque what Ja Morant is doing. We thought Joe Burrow and the Bengals were ahead of schedule and winning their division and getting to the playoffs. That team's in the Super Bowl. So who's to say that the Memphis Grizzlies and Ja Morant couldn't follow suit and find themselves in the Western Conference Finals or, dare I say, the NBA Finals?
Listen, somewhere Zach Randolph and the rest of the Grindhouse era Grizzlies right now are smiling and saluting their young ass kickers out here on the court. That's all I'm saying. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection right in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. Coming up next, let's take stock of how many quarterbacks are finally going to change teams now that we get to stare at an ever-approaching offseason. We will get to some guys hopping ship after this word from Body Armor. Whew, sweating. A lot going on right now. Practice going on, the Grindhouse, Grizzlies, it's all good. All right, guys, Body Armor Light. Let them help you achieve your fitness goals this year. Body Armor Light's the low-calorie sports drink, hydrating your active lifestyle. It has no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Athletes like Mike Trout, Sabrina Ionescu, Dustin Johnson, they all use Body Armor Light to stay hydrated, so why not give it a try? From now until April 30th, when you buy $20 of any Body Armor product, you're going to earn $10 in fitness cash towards select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. Book it next on Canty and Golic Jr.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Hit us up on the CNG call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. And Gojo, since it is Thursday on CNG, it's time for us to play a little Book It.
All right, guys, Book It. You know the drill. You add Book It to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the books.
You know what time it is. It's Book It time, damn it. Often imitated, never duplicated, dragged from the depths, 4 o'clock in the morning. Book It back for your Thursday afternoon. If you're new here, how it's going to work. Our producer Shannon going to lob up a spicy take to us. If we like it, you shall book it after. Feels awesome. Feel like Stephen A. Smith. If you don't, you won't. We'll move on here. That sound pretty good to everybody?
Really?
Shannon, we good?
I am good. Are you good?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Chris, you good?
Yeah, I'm good, man. You don't have to get ready when you stay ready.
Nice.
True.
All right, Mike, we will start with you on today's Book It. Let's go. Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy G, and Russell Wilson will all be on different teams next season. Are you willing to book it, Mike?
I'm not going to book it.
Really?
I think between the three of them, Jimmy G's as good as gone. We saw that yesterday. There were talks, Jimmy G saying he wanted to work with the Niners on finding a trade partner for a winning organization. May not get what you wish, but shoot for the moon, and you'll land somewhere around the team slightly above 500. Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, to me, are the wild cards in this one, Chris. I think the offseason only has the stomach for so many big fish to move, and I think ultimately here, I would probably lean closer to Russell Wilson still being the more motivated party here, and that one of these guys would be left holding the bag for their current team.
So what you're saying is Aaron Rodgers is staying in Green Bay?
Yeah, sounds like it. Sounds like that's the take I boxed myself in on for right now.
Nah, I'm going to go ahead and book this, man. That's not spicy enough. It's Thursday. I'm going to go ahead and go there. And I'm going to take it a step further, Shannon. I'm going to tell you the teams that the three quarterbacks are going to. So I got Jimmy G going to the Carolina Panthers because, let's face it, the bar couldn't be lower between the combination of P.J. Walker, Cam Newton, and Sam Darnold, what they had last year. And this is going to be a year where Matt Rhule has to do some winning. So hopefully Jimmy G can bring some of those quarterback wins over to the Carolina Panthers and change that franchise's fortune and maybe their head coach's fortune. I'm still on the Aaron Rodgers to the Indianapolis Colts train, although I don't think the likelihood of that happening is very high. In the interest of take integrity, I'm going to stand by it and keep saying it until somebody catches wind of it and realizes it actually makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. And then for Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson's going to the Denver Broncos. The Seattle Seahawks realize that Russell Wilson is not staying in Seattle to play another season. The contract is a lot more palatable in terms of the Seahawks being able to move on from him and another team being able to absorb it. Russell Wilson makes a lot of sense based on the pieces that they have in Denver already. So I think we're playing the little quarterback carousel, little musical chairs, and there's some shuffling of the deck with all three of those guys.
Russell Wilson getting a little bit of that Nathaniel Hackett Green Bay offense that he's watched work for what will likely be the two-time MVP in Aaron Rodgers. Not a bad deal.
Well, yeah. I mean, if Hackett doesn't want to be a hack as a head coach, he better find a way to get one of those veteran quarterbacks that wants to be traded for.
It's true. Shannon?
All right, moving on. Next week, of course, all the focus is going to be on the Super Bowl, but we also have another big event coming up, the Winter Olympics. So, Chris, I will start with you with this question. Curling is the best Winter Olympic sport. Are you going to book it?
No, I'm not going to book it, man.
No,
I'm a downhill
slalom
kind of guy, so I can't go along with the curling thing. It looks cool. I see where they're at with it, although I don't quite understand all the strategy involved. I can't get down with curling as the best event at the Winter Olympics. I'm going with the slalom.
You know what? I appreciate the slalom, Chris. I appreciate the biathlon. Shooting and skiing as a combination is just so weird and incredible to me. But I got to book this one.
Ding, ding, ding.
I mean, listen, our producer Angela on the TV side today was waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning to watch curling on the Olympics. And I got respect for it, Chris. Chris, you just finished up a round of golf this afternoon. I always said the best thing about golf is it allows me to drink outdoors in a mildly competitive setting that I can justify to other people. That's curling fair. Is just that for being cold and inside. That is a sport built for the drinking man. It is one that I've gotten to partake in. And I'm not going to lie, it is just like golf in that the gateway to entry is not difficult, but the gateway to expertise is the reason they send a team full of pros there and not me.
See, there's the flaw in my logic because I wasn't acquainted with all the facts. I did not know that there would be libations involved with actual curling. I didn't know that you could put the two together. Changes things for me.
Listen, Cannon and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're going to make a trip. We're going to get out here. Me and you are going to throw some stones, Chris. Toss a few back. We're going to be good to go on this one. Curling, the goat.
You can't do that with the slalom.
Drunk, no. Drunk slalom no. sounds
that's a,
like...
That's a torn ACL.
I hope it's just a torn ACL. That sounds like death. Kenny and Golic Jr., what do we got next, Shannon?
All right, as you heard from Christine Lisi in her update, Jim Harbaugh will return to Michigan. So, Mike, I will ask you, Jim Harbaugh will eventually return to the NFL. Are you going to book that? He's going to coach in the NFL again?
Absolutely. I absolutely book that. Listen, Jim Harbaugh is a guy who is built like an absolute jackhammer. This guy marches to the beat of his own drum. We saw how close he was here. According to Courtney Cronin, he thought the Vikings job was his to lose and seemed prepared to go and take that. Now, he's going to head back to Michigan, Chris. We'd expect this to be coupled with a lucrative contract extension to be reworked for Jim Harbaugh. But I think eventually, this guy who is an ultimate competitor is going to wind up back in the ultimate competitive league.
Yeah, you can go ahead and book that.
You can take Matthew's word.
He said he wants to win a Super Bowl. So I don't think that goes away with him returning to Michigan. Now, I don't think it's going to happen anytime in the near future. I think this is more 3-4 years down the line. You reassess, you look at the available job openings in the NFL, and then you make a decision. But what I expect in the short term is that the athletic director from the University of Michigan ends up announcing a contract extension for Jim Harbaugh in light of the interest that he's garnering for NFL teams, and then the job that he did with this team getting them to the college football playoff for the first time in his tenure.
Jim Harbaugh, Joe Flacco'd his way through this thing.
Yes, he did.
Bet on himself this season, took the pay cut, went out and just happened to have his best year at the best time, and now you're going to have to bring him his money. That is Book It here on Canny and Golic Jr. That is soon going to be looking up reservations for somewhere to go curling around here in Connecticut. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you want to tell us what a better sport there is to do while also enjoying a couple of libations from time to time. But coming up next, we have to put a bow on a couple of teams that we saw finish up their NFL seasons last week. We know it's late to the party, but we got a whole nother week to get to the Super Bowl. Let's check on the state of the franchise for a couple of the teams that are now getting a head start on their offseason. Next on ESPN Radio.
In 1920, halfback Fritz Pollard led the Akron Pros to a championship in the newly formed National Football League. The next season, he accepted the role of player coach, becoming the first black head coach in NFL history. Today, his impact is felt through the Fritz Pollard Alliance, an organization advocating for diversity in coaching and front office positions.
ESPN Radio celebrates Black History Always. This is ESPN Radio.
This isn't our standard. We want to win the Super Bowl. Whenever you taste the winning the Super Bowl, nothing less than that is success.
And the Cincinnati Bengals have won the AFC Championship in overtime by a score of 27-24 over the Kansas City Chiefs.
That sound courtesy of 106.5 The Wolf. This is Canny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canny. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And Gojo, I know a lot of folks are looking ahead to Super Bowl 56 with the Cincinnati Bengals and the LA Rams, but around here on CNG, we like to actually look back on the teams that lost in conference championship weekend. Of course, there's the 49ers and what they're going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo, but we got to zoom in on the Kansas City Chiefs because we didn't expect them to be in this position at home with us on their couches watching the Super Bowl as the team that was the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl going into conference championship weekend. So an odd place to be for a team that set an NFL record with hosting four consecutive conference championship games.
Yep, certainly not what they expected. We heard that and as much from Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes after the season. But Chris, now that we get this far along in the playoffs, a lot of the teams earlier, you know, are ones we talk about, have what feel like actual systemic issues. For the Chiefs, I won't be shocked when they're the favorite to win the AFC again next year, Chris. I won't be shocked when Patrick Mahomes is an MVP favorite odds-wise to start next season. We'll talk to Aaron Dolan, our ESPN sports betting analyst, coming up in about 10 minutes, by the way. Get our money right for the weekend and get an early look at the Super Bowl. But, Chris, a lot of this is going to be about, you know, free agent retention and the things that start to become a little more difficult as we now look at Patrick Mahomes and that half a billion dollar contract that he signed over the course of 10 years that's now going to start to kick in for real with them. They're going to get to the point where it's not impossible to build a team around a veteran quarterback. We've seen plenty successfully do it, but that's going to be the challenge as they have got guys like Orlando Brown, the tackle that they brought over from the Ravens, Tyrann Mathieu in that secondary that are set to become free agents that now Brett Veach in that front office have to go to work about getting creative with the budget to make sure are still around to keep helping Patrick Mahomes get back to those AFC title stages.
Yeah, the offense is the identity of this team, so you got to consider doing everything that it takes in order for Pat Mahomes to have the supporting cast that he needs in order to get the job done and to be among the NFL's best. But Gojo, I got some serious concerns on the defensive side of the ball, and it starts with what we saw in the AFC Championship game. Them only getting four quarterback hits and one sack on Joe Burrow is unexplainable. I mean, you saw what the Tennessee Titans did the week prior in the divisional round to that same offensive line from the Bengals. They hit Joe Burrow 13 times and sacked him 9 times. And so for that defensive front not to be able to create more pressure, you got to look at Chris Jones. You know he's going to be around, but he's also got to have some help on that defensive front. And Frank Clark did not live up to the expectations based on the pay scale, only having 4.5 sacks on the season. I know he dealt with some injuries, but that notwithstanding, you're talking about a guy that has a $26 million cap hit next year. You got to wonder whether or not Kansas City has the stomach for that. And you consider this team, even though they're in the top 10 in pass rush win rate, you're talking about a team that's 29th in sack total in the National Football League. That's not good enough to win championships, especially when you have an offense as prolific as the Kansas City Chiefs do, because in a lot of those games, time and score is going to dictate that your opponent is going to be one-dimensional and trying to throw themselves back in the game. Your guys up front got to be able to hunt and close those games out. And so far, the Kansas City Chiefs this season haven't been able to do that. So I look for them to retool that defensive front, that defensive line, and bring in some more pass rushers. I wouldn't be surprised if they allocate some draft capital to it, but at a minimum, they have to look in veteran free agency and be able to bring on some pieces.
Yeah, because Chris, I mean, Melvin Ingram, one of the guys that's going to be a free agent, that was a great midseason move for them for the Steelers, but the way he played, I'm not sure they're going to be able to afford him with the rest of that D-line. I think you're right that it's going to have to come out of a draft class. Now, we heard Todd McShay say that between the offensive and defensive lines, it's about as deep on those positions as he's seen in the last two decades coming out of the draft, but that really seems to be kind of like what the Buffalo Bills did that we saw in that AFC divisional round game opposite them. They've been building with pass rushers through the draft for the last few years, and based on the money they've committed, and in this case in Frank Clark, I think it's safe to say wrongly committed. They have not gotten the production out of Frank Clark that they expected when he came over there from Seattle, and so I think it's fair to say that was a failed experiment. Money that they poured out, they did not get the return they needed from.
Yeah, and they can save, I want to say, $14 million against the cap if they decide to move on from him, because the dead cap number is around $12 million or so odd dollars. So there is an opportunity for some savings there, but that still doesn't solve the problem of them finding another guy that can be reliable in terms of pass rush. And you know you can never have enough pass rushers, Gojo, so it's not just a matter of being able to bring on one guy. They need to bring on several players to be able to impact that up front, because there's only so much that Steve Spagnuolo can do in the way of designing pressures and bringing guys from different places from the second and third levels of the defense. At some point, you've got to drop 7 in coverage and rush 4 and be able to affect the passer. And the Kansas City Chiefs defense hasn't shown the ability to be able to do that. And based on what's on the horizon, I don't know that they're going to get a much improvement unless they make some major moves. And here's the other part that we got to consider in all of this too. How many more years does Andy Reid have to do high-level winning? We just don't know. Andy Reid is 63 years old, and you'd like to think that he has the ability to be able to coach into his late 60s, maybe even his early 70s, but we know his personal life has taken a toll on him, some of the things that he's had to deal with his sons. You just never know how many opportunities this Chiefs team, as constituted, is going to have with Andy Reid in order to win championships. So there's got to be a heightened level of urgency from Brett Veach, their general manager, in order to put the requisite pieces in place to get this team back to the championship rounds and hopefully back into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Chris, I'll say this. If you ask me to bet right now, I would bet that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid get another Super Bowl together before it's all said and done. I think around that core, you mentioned defensively what their charge is now. The offense is always going to give you a chance. They are to wide receivers. As guys like Byron Pringle come up to free agency, they are to wide receivers opposite of Tyreek Hill what the San Francisco 49ers are to running back. They have demonstrated an ability to scout and find speed at those positions that works within the body of that offense. They won big in the draft, getting Creed Humphrey in the middle, getting Trey Smith out of Tennessee a late guy there, an undrafted free agent. Massive for them to have that core on offense. The kind of like we talked about with the Golden State Warriors. When you got an offense like that that's proven and worked through its issues this year, it's going to buy you some relief on the other end. We will get to the San Francisco 49ers coming up in just a little bit as we look back. But coming up next, let's start to get an early look at the betting trends heading towards Super Bowl Sunday on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.